VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. It's going to be a news roundup day here today. And again, I know we have more stories than time, but we're going to delve right into it here today to keep you informed on a number of issues that are going on across our nation and around the world as well. Well, first of all, 45 Republican senators voted in favor of a motion introduced by Senator Rand Paul Tuesday, reports the Daily Wire, to dismiss the impeachment article against former President Donald Trump as being unconstitutional. The point of order was defeated 55-45, argued that the Senate does not have the constitutional authority to try a president after he has left office, so the motion was not upheld. It does suggest, though, that the Senate will not have the required 67 votes, a supermajority, to convict Donald Trump in a second impeachment trial in which 17 Republicans would have to vote for along with the Democrats. Again, that trial is scheduled into the month of February, week after next. From WND.com, there's a furor growing over a claim by squad member Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that a Republican senator tried to have her killed. She had stated on Twitter, quote, "I am happy to work with Republicans on this issue where there's common ground, but you almost had me murdered 3 weeks ago, so you can sit this one out. Happy to work with almost any other GOP that aren't trying to get me killed." She was assuming that Senator Ted Cruz of Texas was responsible for the people who rioted and vandalized the Capitol on January 6th. The riot was the basis for the House vote without witnesses or evidence to impeach President Trump a second time. Well, we understand from WND.com that now Congressman Chip Roy of Texas is asking Nancy Pelosi to discipline AOC, saying it's completely unacceptable behavior for a member of Congress to make this kind of scurrilous charge against another member in the House or Senate for simply engaging in speech and debate regarding electors as they interpreted the Constitution. He warned that without a retraction and an apology, that Congress members will be forced to find alternative means to condemn this regrettable statement. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that more resources will be devoted to Capitol building protection, especially toward the enemy within the House. Hear that, folks? Where did all this unity go? Matt Vespa at townhall.com, she's referring to Republicans. When asked for clarification of what she means about the enemy within, she specifically called out fellow members of Congress, saying, quote, "It means we have members of Congress who want to bring guns on the floor and have threatened violence on other members of Congress," Pelosi said. You know, there are some members of Congress that believe in the Second Amendment and believe that is a personal right, just as the Supreme Court has declared. Let's go to a story from LifeNews.com. Pro-lifers criticize the New York Times for describing President Joe Biden as the most religiously observant president in 50 years, even though he supports killing unborn babies and abortions without restriction and wants to force taxpayers to fund their deaths. Fox News reported an article focused on Biden, a Catholic who regularly attends Mass, and his commitment to environmental protection, poverty, and migration. And here's what they write. President Biden is perhaps the most religiously observant commander-in-chief in half a century. A different, more liberal Christianity grounds his life and his policies, the report says. From LifeNews.com, interesting story here that President Joe Biden last Friday vowed to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land. Make it the law of the land. He marked the 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade by promising to appoint judges who respect the ruling as precedent. He also said that he and the vice president are committed to codifying Roe v. Wade. So also from LifeNews.com, President Biden made it official yesterday, signing an executive order forcing Americans to fund the International Planned Parenthood abortion business, and sending taxpayer funds to promote its global abortion agenda. across the country and around the world, particularly women, Black, Indigenous, and other people of color, LGBTQ plus people, are those with low incomes, have been denied access to reproductive health care. President Biden states, issuing a presidential memorandum to protect and expand access to, quote, comprehensive reproductive health care. It immediately rescinds the global gag rule, referred to as the Mexico City policy, that bars international nonprofits that provide abortion counseling or referrals from receiving U.S. funds. He also directs the Department of Health and Human Services to take immediate action to consider whether to rescind regulations under its Title X Family Planning Program. Life News also reporting that Planned Parenthood celebrated after President Biden signed this executive order, giving millions of American taxpayer dollars to abortion advocacy groups around the world. Biden overturned this Mexico City policy, which the policy does defund International Planned Parenthood. He rescinded that, overturned it. So we have about $100 million in the British-based abortion chain MSI Reproductive Choices, that's formerly the Mary Stopes International, of about $73 million in U.S. tax dollars. Under Biden, the funding will be restored. Planned Parenthood CEO Alexis McGill Johnson is, quote, grateful. Also, from LifeSiteNews.com, we learn of the New Mexico Senate Committee is considering a pro-abortion bill that not only would keep abortions up to birth legal, but also force doctors and nurses to do them. You're listening in New Mexico. It's reported that State Senate Bill 10 is a top priority for Arizona Democratic lawmakers. I'm sorry, New Mexico Democratic lawmakers. It would repeal a statute that prohibits abortions with exceptions. The statute is not in effect because of Roe v. Wade, but if it is repealed, as many expect from the Supreme Court, New Mexico would allow unborn babies to be aborted for any reason up to birth, even if Roe is overturned. So a New Mexico Senate committee considering this pro-abortion bill that not only would keep abortions legal, but also may force doctors and nurses to do them. Senate Bill number 10, for those of you listening in New Mexico. Life News also reporting that unborn babies with Down syndrome targeted for abortion at an alarming rate in some countries, nearly 100% are aborted, but not in South Dakota's, if the governor has her way. Kristi Noem is working to end this deadly discrimination in her state. The governor said that she wants to protect every unborn baby from abortion, but the U.S. Supreme Court prohibits states from doing so under Roe. Until Roe is overturned, I'm asking that the South Dakota legislature pass a law that bans the abortion of preborn children just because that child is diagnosed with Down syndrome, she said. From ChristianNews.net, a Republican lawmaker in Arizona proposing a bill to protect the unborn at all stages of development without exception and prosecute abortion in the state as murder. It's House Bill 2650. It's known as the Equal Opportunities to Life Act, the Equal Opportunity to Life Act by Representative Walt Blackman. It amends current penal law to include homicide by abortion in statutes surrounding negligent homicide, manslaughter, and first and second degree murder. An offense under this section applies to an unborn child in the womb at any stage of the unborn child's development. The bill also directs the county attorney to enforce state homicide law in relation to homicide by abortion, regardless of any contrary conflicting federal laws, regulations, treaties, court decisions, and executive orders. This is a lawmaker in the state of Arizona. Arizonans, you can look up House Bill 2650, known as the Equal Opportunity to Life Act. Let's go to the state of Florida. Also from ChristianNews.net, a Republican lawmaker in Florida has filed a bill that would allow the installation of newborn infant safety devices, known as baby boxes, at hospitals and fire stations in an effort to save newborns who might otherwise be abandoned in dumpsters or killed by their mothers. This is Representative Joe Hardin has filed House Bill 133. That'll work in conjunction with the existing Safe Haven law in the state to provide moms and another option to place their newborns in safe hands if they're too afraid to speak face-to-face with the person and relinquishing their baby. Again, Floridians, this is House Bill 133. The Kansas Senate voted this week to pass the Value Them Both Amendment. That was 28-11. This now will be on a ballot for Kansans in August of 2022 to let the people of Kansas decide. Let's get back to South Dakota. A South Dakota House Committee advanced legislation Tuesday to protect newborn babies who survive abortion from infanticide. It is State House Bill 1051, protecting life there in South Dakota. Interesting story from Bloomberg.com. President Joe Biden benefited from a record-breaking amount of donations from anonymous donors to outside groups backing him, meaning the public will never have a full accounting of who helped him win the White House, they report. His winning campaign was backed by $145 million in so-called dark money donations. It's a type of fundraising the Democrats have decried for years. Those fundraising streams augmented his $1.5 billion haul. Democrats have said they want to ban dark money as uniquely corrupting, since it allows supporters to quietly pack a candidate without scrutiny. Yet in their effort to defeat Trump in 2020, they embraced it. As a matter of fact, overall, Democrats in the election cycle benefited from $326 million in dark money. That's according to the Center for Responsive Politics. That was more than twice the $148 million that supported Republican groups. Dark money, how paving the way to Joe Biden's path to the White House, reports Bloomberg. The Daily Signal, President Joe Biden sent an executive order Monday, ensuring that transgender Americans can serve in the military. The Biden administration made big promises about sweeping changes in its first 10 days. In just the first 3 days, President Biden issued some 30 executive orders, presidential memorandums, and agency directives, all without the consent of Congress, according to the Associated Press. That includes actions taken by federal agencies in its report. The White House listed 27 presidential actions as of January 25th, and by that same time in 2017, President Trump had issued just 14, nearly twice the number of executive actions coming from Joe Biden. His executive actions during the first week included tying federal education dollars to allowing biological males to play on female sports teams at schools, returning the U.S. To participate in the World Health Organization, rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement, doing away with the 1776 Commission that focused on a public narrative on American history, and reversing the travel ban from countries with unstable governments, killing the Keystone XL as well. The Epoch Times reported that Biden's measures also included pandemic-related actions, including imposing a mask mandate on federal property, which has been violated by his administration several times, and reinstating travel restrictions on non-U.S. citizens traveling from Brazil, South America, and also much of Europe. It's interesting, from OAN News, the One American News Network, they're pointing out, the GOP is pointing out hypocrisy in these executive orders. These critics are calling out Joe Biden for going back on his word after he signed a record number of executive orders during his first week in office. While speaking during an ABC town hall in October, he told viewers that only a dictator can legislate by executive order, saying some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. He stated, you can't do it by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus. Republicans are warning that Biden's willingness to engage in unilateral actions as such, an alarming rate, signals a clear danger of executive overreach. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the fossil record prove evolution?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, it couldn't prove evolution because evolution didn't happen. I don't even think it supports evolution very well. What we see in the fossil record are the same kinds of plants and animals which are alive today. They can be put in the various categories, such as clams or snails or brachiopods. Some animals, like the dinosaurs, have gone extinct, but none of the fossils seem to point to one type of animal evolving or changing into another type. That's because evolution simply didn't happen. What did happen is creation. Creation of the basic types of plants and animals that God created. They exist into the present day or else have gone extinct, but nothing else has arisen since then. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's the News Roundup Day on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. Just a lot of topics and issues taking place, and perhaps covering some of the issues that you would not pick up from other sources, from news media, I should say. Western Journal is reporting that there are some promises that defined the presidential campaign of Joe Biden. The first promise is that he would not ban fracking. Remember that? The second, that his administration would shut down the novel coronavirus. Well, it took only a day in office to prove to the American people that, that's not quite what he meant, evidently, while campaigning. The Biden administration tweeted on January 22nd, "Yes, we are following through with a fracking ban." Speaking at the White House Tuesday night, Press Secretary Jen Psaki confirmed that President Biden will follow through with campaign promises to ban new fracking. And then there's also the COVID issue. Remember leading up, they tweeted out October 30th, "I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm going to shut down the virus." He talked about that. "We're going to shut down the virus," and talked about how a change in control would do just that. And promised everyone that here we have. He promised everyone that he had a plan to shut down the virus. That's a tweet that the GOP chair, Ronna McDaniel, sent out. And, after that promise to shut down the virus before the presidency, now we have some different thoughts coming from Joe Biden.
"If we fail to act, there will be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months as this pandemic rages on, because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months."
Nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months. Okay, let's see. WND.com. Biden's press office to ban media that traffic in conspiracy theories. News outlets that contested the 2020 election are put on notice. His deputy press secretary, T.J. Ducklow, began with a conventional sensibility that Biden's press team expects reporters covering the White House to operate in good faith and tell their audiences the truth, and this White House will do the same. "We're moving forward with that mutual understanding," he said. "Organizations or individuals who traffic in conspiracy theories, propaganda, and lies to spread disinformation will not be tolerated, and will work with the WHCA, that's the White House Correspondents Association, to decide how to handle those instances moving forward." The Biden team indicated to Politico, that current holders of a hard pass to gain access to the White House will be able to keep them if they meet the criteria determined together with the Correspondents Association. Politico said White House officials stressed that they won't take steps, though, to banish pro-Trump voices from the White House. It'll be interesting to see how that one all falls out. Remember the issue with CNN? And the reporter, Jim how he had his press credentials rescinded and the uproar that happened with that and was allowed back in. Once again, it was Acosta, Jim Acosta. Here's a Daily Signal. The Washington Post will have a lot more on its time on its hands now that President Biden's been sworn in. According to the paper's spokesperson, it's going to call off its whole fact-checking operation. It's not necessary now that its preferred party is in office. The Post published its final tally of, quote, lies or misleading statements by Donald Trump. The newspaper alleged total was 30,573. But regardless of Biden's own issues with the truth, the Post says it has no plans to keep a Biden database of falsehoods at this time. Looking at FoxNews.com, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer suggested Monday that it might be a good idea for President Biden to call a climate emergency, he told MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Schumer suggested Biden do the same for the climate, what President Trump did for the border, declare a national emergency to bypass legislative debate and use executive authority. He can do many, many things under the emergency powers that he could not do without legislation, Schumer said. Four members of Congress from Texas, Western Journal reports, write to President Joe Biden Wednesday asking him to rescind Executive Order 3395, which he signed on the second day in office, that puts a pause on new leases for drilling for oil and gas on federal lands. It also asked him to drop plans to ban new leases for a year as part of his administration's war on fossil fuels. Such measures, the lawmakers wrote, would not only put jobs in danger, but it would cost the government billions of revenue. From Epoch Times, the Biden administration was sued January 27th over its executive order to halt oil and gas leasing on federal lands. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court in Wyoming by the Western Energy Alliance. It's a group representing fossil fuel producers on federal lands. They say President Joe Biden exceeded his authority with the recent order. From Breaking Christian News, Alberta Premier Jason Kenney took his frustration with the situation to social media, writing, "That's not how you treat a friend and ally. The United States is our most important ally and trading partner. As friends and allies, we are deeply disturbed that one of at POTUS's first actions was to rescind the presidential permit for Keystone XL pipeline border crossing. That's not how you treat a friend and ally," Kenney tweeted. Biden's cancellation of the $8 billion project will kill thousands of unionized Canadian jobs. When operational, the pipeline was expected to bring more than 800,000 barrels of crude oil a day from the oil-rich Canadian province of Alberta to refineries in the Gulf Coast states. And, you know, the alternative is train or truck. The network also reported the Alberta government has retained legal counsel in both countries to give advice on seeking compensation. You know what? Union leaders who endorse Biden now turning against him. The boss of a major union has complained that Joe Biden gave in to the voices of fringe activists when the president killed Keystone XL. But it shouldn't be a surprise because the union endorsed him after he announced that he would make the move. Well, it just took 24 hours in office and it was gone. Also, the border wall construction, the halt of the border wall by President Biden, thousands of construction jobs. And I saw pictures of just leave the materials there, all materials in hand to build and just left behind at this point. Here we have from Epoch Times, Coalition of State Attorneys General, January 27th, sent a letter to President Biden reminding him that any potentially unconstitutional executive actions or federal overreach will not go unchallenged. Let's see here. We're going to move on to, let's move on to the Chinese coronavirus. In a clear rebuke of former President Trump, WND.com reports, President Biden is preparing executive action directing federal agencies to examine whether or not any references such as China virus are in existing policies and directives or on government websites. CBS News reported an order as part of Biden's effort to combat racism against Asian Americans in connection with the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's very interesting because, as Town Hall Beth Bowman points out, President Trump halted flights from China this time last year in an attempt to prevent the Wuhan coronavirus from spreading through the United States. He implemented travel restrictions when just a day after Joe Biden accused him of being a xenophobic and a racist for shutting down travel from China. Now, healthcare leaders have repeatedly said that decision, especially being made so early, and by the way, you remember Nancy Pelosi saying, come to Chinatown. She was so upset about the president closing off travel from China. She was in Chinatown and urging people to come. Healthcare leaders have repeatedly said that decision is especially being made so early on by President Trump to help prevent the outbreak in the U.S. from being worse than it currently is. And before leaving office, he rolled back travel restrictions on those coming from Brazil, Ireland, and the U.K. on Monday. President Biden re-implemented those very travel bans. So Fox News's Peter Doocy asked Press Secretary Jen Psaki about the hypocrisy during Monday's White House press briefing. Listen what happened at that press briefing, and you'll hear the question and the response.
The announcement you made off the top about the travel restrictions. Mm-hmm. When President Trump was imposing travel restrictions in March, specifically on China, then candidate Biden called it xenophobic and fear-mongering. So now President Biden is putting travel restrictions on people coming in from other countries. What word do we use to describe that?
Well, I don't think that's quite a fair articulation. The president has been clear that he felt the Muslim ban was xenophobic. He overturned the Muslim ban. He also, though, has supported, and he himself, even before, or we did, I should say, even before he was inaugurated, steps travel restrictions in order to keep the American people safe, to ensure that we are getting the pandemic under control. That's been part of his policy. But he was critical of the former president for having a policy that was not more comprehensive than travel restrictions. And he conveyed at the time and more recently the importance of having a multifaceted approach, mask wearing, vaccine distribution, funding in order to get 100 million shots in the arms of Americans in the first 100 days, not just travel restrictions.
Well, keep in mind, it was the day after President Trump issued the travel restriction from China that the xenophobic tweet came out from then-candidate Joe Biden. Western Journal reporting on a change of policy that came at the same time as a change in president's indoor dining now being allowed by several Democratic officials. Decisions come despite President Joe Biden warning that COVID-19 pandemic is going to get worse before it gets better. D.C., Washington, D.C. allowed indoor dining again starting Friday, according to Fox Business. We understand now the California governor is opening up. Was the Chicago mayor saying, hey, we got to get our indoor dining back open again? On and on it goes. LifeSiteNews.com, Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, has changed his tune on mask wearing once again. This time he said he supports double masking or using N95 mask in an interview with NBC's Savannah Guthrie on Today. He said wearing two masks instead of one is probably most effective to stop the spread of coronavirus. This is a total about-face from his advice back in March in a 60 Minutes interview where he dismissed masks as being useless. Fox News is reporting that New York Attorney General said that the State Department of Health underreported COVID-19 deaths in nursing homes by as much as 50%, according to a report that was released on Thursday. The report said that the government guidance requiring the admission of COVID-19 patients into nursing homes may have put residents at increased risk of harm in some facilities and may have obscured the data available to assess the risk. About 70% of those nearly 35,000 deaths in New York were people aged 70 and older, according to state data, as of January 28. And guess what? Revelation, hydroxychloroquine just may have some use to treat COVID after all, a New Jersey study has found. Yeah, it's in Cincinnati.com. A new Hackensack Meridian Health study shows that people with mild symptoms of COVID-19 may be helped by a controversial drug that has been widely used in the early days of the pandemic before several studies questioned its benefits and safety. The recently published study looked at a group of people treated as outpatients last year and found that those who received an anti-inflammatory drug, hydroxychloroquine, which is so often used for malaria, were significantly less likely to end up in the hospital. Interesting revelation, isn't it? Okay, also, Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona introduced a bill in the House of Representatives that would prohibit the federal government from funding the collection of information about COVID-19 vaccine recipients, saying, quote, "I'm extremely concerned that the Biden administration, working closely with totalitarian regimes across our nation, will leverage this historic vaccine in order to dismantle people's privacy yet again." He said all Americans should be able to choose to take this vaccine with no fear of government or public-private partnership reprisals and monitoring. So this new bill would ban federally funded privacy invasions revealing who's gotten the COVID vaccine. That's reported in The Federalist. We're going to take another quick break. I've got more stories than time is going to allow, but we'll come back and cover several more issues here. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation.
Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Oh, for another 90 minutes here. Let's continue on with our news roundup day here today. Breitbart had an interesting story because we were just talking about the legislation being introduced in the U.S. to not allowing for tracking of those who've had the vaccination. Breitbart has a story. A conservative member of parliament is calling for GPS tracking of quarantine Britons. The chairman of the Commons Health Committee, Jeremy Hunt, has said that the government should consider using GPS to track Britons ordered to self-isolate by the NHS's test and trace system. He is the former health secretary, claiming that the lockdown isn't working fast enough at slowing the virus because too many people with symptoms are not quarantining themselves. Closing borders and quarantine hotels is a sensible step, but we won't address the heart of the problem unless we deal with the domestic transmission. We need to raise compliance with isolation to the 95% plus rates achieved in Korea, Taiwan, and Singapore. He claimed authorities must conduct daily contact with those asked to self-isolate using GPS tracking to monitor compliance if necessary, as happens in Taiwan and also in Poland. Epoch Times is reporting interesting story about a UK medical officer. People who have received two doses of COVID vaccine may still spread the virus to others, says a senior British medical officer, and is warning. This is Professor Jonathan Van Tam, England's deputy chief medical officer, said January 24th that we do not know the impact of the vaccine on transmission of the virus. So even after you've had both doses of the vaccine, you may still give COVID-19 to someone else, and the chains of transmission will then continue, he wrote in the Sunday Telegraph. Therefore, he urged the millions of Britons who have already been vaccinated to keep following the lockdown rules. If you change your behaviors, you could still be spreading the virus, keeping the number of cases high, putting others at risk who also need their vaccine but are further down the queue. Van Tam also warned that no vaccine has ever been 100% effective and no one will have 100% protection from the virus. There are some COVID deaths that the media is not talking about, Matt Vespa points out in a town hall article. In Las Vegas, they're rushing to reopen schools as COVID lockdowns have led to a spike in suicides. There are COVID deaths that the media is not talking about. By December, 18 students had taken their own lives. The spate of student suicides in and around Las Vegas has pushed the Clark County District, the nation's fifth largest, toward bringing students back as quickly as possible. Also, Fox News adds to that that last summer the district also poured resources into the Go Guardian Beacon Alert System. It's a technology scan, student writing and search activity on their school-issued iPads and notifies officials of any ongoing mental health episodes or suicidal thoughts, according to the newspaper. So they give, these iPads out to everybody. Yeah, they're tracking them. They're tracking them. During a stretch from June 2020 to October 2020, the programs generated more than 3,100 alerts to the Clark County administrators. One individual telling the Times, I couldn't sleep with my phone nearby anymore. It was like a 24-hour reminder that we need to get our schools open. Well, there was a taped interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow featuring Chuck Schumer, who told of some dramatic change coming to the United States. Want you to hear what he had to say.
The caucus is united with a belief that I have. We must get big, strong, bold things done. That's a bottom line. If we don't, I worry about the future of this democracy. If people continue to be disillusioned that this government can't do a thing to make their lives better at a time when so many are angry, so many are sour, so many think they don't have a chance to get ahead, I worry about the future. So we have to get things done. That's point one. Point two, we will not let Mitch McConnell dictate to us what we will do and not do, period. And these first 5 days have shown that. And as I said, my caucus is totally united from one end to the other that we're not letting him go forward. Our hope is, now, we have tools that we can use. Reconciliation. We can get a lot of the COVID bill done with reconciliation, and that's something we certainly will use if they try to block this immediate COVID bill. We can even use reconciliation for a much broader proposal, Biden's Build It Back Better, which obviously would be modified and changed. So we have some tools we can use right now and will not hesitate to use them if Republicans continue to just block. As for other issues, what we're going to do is we are united in the view we need to bring change. We are united in the view McConnell is not going to dictate what this Senate does. And we will come together as a caucus and figure it out. But I can assure you, we will bring real change here, real dramatic change. We have no choice.
Buckle your seatbelts. It looks like Dominion Voting Systems planning to sue Rudy Giuliani could be backfiring on them, reports one such site. Dominion Voting Systems filed a $1.3 billion defamation suit against Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani. WeLoveTrump.com has a story. Giuliani fired back at Dominion, was quoted as saying, Dominion's defamation lawsuit for $1.3 billion will allow me to investigate their history, finances, and practices fully and completely. He didn't stop there. I also explained that they're suing him for such a big sum because they're trying to intimidate him. The Daily Signal telling us that the Virginia Board of Elections rule allowing officials to count ballots that arrived without a postmark up to 3 days after the election. Here's the ruling, folks. It was found to be illegal. Virginia Circuit Court Judge William Eldridge ruled that the state's late mail-in ballot vote law violated the state statute and permanently banned the law in future Virginia elections, the Public Interest Legal Foundation announced on Monday. By the way, all this mail-in voting, and we're told, you know, even by big tech, this is a good thing. Guess who's opposing mail-in voting now? Bronson Stocking at townhall.com reports that despite the media's constant assurance that it's nearly impossible to commit voter fraud by mail, it seems billionaire Jeff Bezos and officials at Amazon disagree with that assertion. The online retailer is now urging the National Labor Relations Board to reconsider a decision allowing 6,000 Amazon employees at the company's warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, to vote by mail in an upcoming unionization vote. Amazon is seeking to postpone the election while the Labor Relations Board reviews the decision. According to a representative of the company who spoke to CNN, Amazon believes in-person voting is the best approach to a valid, fair, and successful election. Wow, thanks for admitting that, Amazon. Here we go to KTAR.com, telling us that the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors in Arizona voted unanimously Wednesday to allow an independent forensic audit of tabulation equipment. A draft of the board's audit plan includes analyzing of the equipment's hacking vulnerability, assurance tabulations that they weren't sending or receiving information over the internet, and confirmation that no vote switching occurred during the November 2020 election. So an election audit to get underway in Maricopa County, Arizona. It's also going to include a software, hardware, and financial review of voting systems, reports the Epoch Times. Very interesting indeed. Going to do a verification that no votes were switched. Western Journal reporting with Democrats now in control of the House, Senate, and White House, a bill to permanently alter the balance of power is being brought forward. On Wednesday, Democratic Senator Tom Carper of Delaware introduced a bill that would make the District of Columbia a state. During an interview with Fox and Friends, Representative Jim Banks pushed back against this bill. Reports Breitbart. He noted that giving D.C. statehood is clearly unconstitutional, adding it's part of a grand plan by Democrats to make it hard for Republicans to ever win again. Also, WND.com, the House Democrats' bill on domestic terrorism aimed at conservatives warns that former U.S. is getting a warning from U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard. That's former representative. Introduced by Adam Schiff, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2021 would undermine constitutional rights of almost half of the country, she said in the interview. We don't have to guess about which where this goes or how this ends. By the way, the Biden administration announced Tuesday, this is Times of Israel, that the U.S. was renewing relations with the Palestinian leadership and restoring credible engagement with the Palestinians as it works toward a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. San Francisco, the school board there, Newsmax.com reports, voted to rename schools that had honored American leaders, now considered unworthy because of a connection to slavery. So the people whose names will be removed from 44 schools include Presidents George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Thomas Jefferson, Father of the National Parks, John Muir, Star-Spangled Banner lyricist Francis Scott Key, and others. We also understand that Dianne Feinstein will also see her name removed because as the city's mayor, she replaced a Confederate flag that had been vandalized at City Hall. A teacher suspended for attending the Trump rally in D.C., reports the New American. A teacher in Allentown, Pennsylvania, says that he will sue the school district there because it falsely accused him of participating in the protest that swept over the U.S. Capitol January 6. James Moorhead, a Trump-supporting conservative, was in D.C. that day. He was never near the Capitol, but the district suspended him after he posted photographs of his visit on social media. He did nothing wrong. He said his reputation is ruined. Let's go to phone lines here today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on one of these stories that we've had today, it's been a plethora of stories, 800-733-9829, our number to Crosstalk, LifeSiteNews.com. A New York-based literacy agency fired one of their literary agents upon learning that the agent, what did she do? She joined social media Twitter, alternative Parler. And join Gab. This is the fired agent, Colleen Afilian, confirmed Monday that she was fired from her job at the Jennifer DeChiara, DeChiara, a literacy agency, said it was due to the fact that she identifies as a Christian conservative. And, by the way, PETA is now saying, this is from The Blaze, PETA says that using animal names as verbal insults is supremacist language and is urging for an end to anti-animal slurs. What are they meaning by that? In other words, you can't call somebody chicken. The truth sometimes stranger than fiction. Yeah, that's an anti-animal slur, supremacist language. Don't call somebody chicken. And if someone tends to tattletale or constantly report others' behavior, don't call that person a rat. You got to use something else like snitch. And don't call somebody snake. It's repulsive. Don't call somebody a sloth. You need to use the word lazy. Animal names as verbal insults is supremacist language. Interesting. Let's quickly pick up some calls. Wayne in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, thank you. All these stories that refer to the state of our country, you know, I believe salvation is available to the individual up until the rapture, but I believe nations' time is limited if they violate God's law. And, you know, I believe Clinton and Obama won legitimately, but this last election was a clearly illegitimate election, and I believe America may be facing some judgment, and he might spare President Trump all what's going to come upon this country. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. We do see nations, though. We do see nations that have changed. Think of Nineveh, for instance, during the time of Jonah, how Nineveh turned and repented as a nation from the leadership on down. Could that happen again? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Monday, January 25th, 2021, kicked off the Great Global Reset Conference of the World Economic Forum. And true to form, they're calling for global governance, digital economy, social credit scores, banks and investment firms to align their portfolios against the free market system and for climate change and radical environmentalism. Well, we also heard at this conference from the UN Secretary General. He used to be the president of the Socialist International Party, so you know what you're going to get there. And the president of the World Economic Forum, well, he used to be in charge of the Sustainable Development Goals for the United Nations, which is, among many things, just international socialism. So, my friends, they needed to move out a president that was opposed to globalism as they bring down America to bring down the other Western worlds for the Great Reset.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, earlier this month, we interviewed Robert Morgan on Crosstalk, author of the book The Red Sea Rules, sharing the principles he learned from Exodus chapter 14. The same God who led you in will lead you out, referring to Moses is back against the Red Sea, the armies of Pharaoh coming, people that he was leading criticizing him. Powerful book, 10 God-given strategies for difficult times. And as we mentioned at that time, our VCY bookstore offering that book normally at $10.99, but they're offering it at 55% off through January 31. And because there's only a couple days left, we just wanted to make mention of that to you. And if you tried to call earlier, got busy, you can try them again. But they have it for just $4.95 plus any applicable tax and or shipping. You can contact the bookstore. The quickest way is online at vcy.com, vcy.com. People have been ordering these by many, many multiples. Or you can call the bookstore at this toll-free number, 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. Back to the phone lines. Greg is calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. You're on the air.
With that, Brother Jim.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. President Biden getting rid of the Mexico City policy, that's garbage. Because he's clearly doesn't understand life. And I actually listened to the March for Life, even though it was virtual.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognize a lot of the speakers, other than Tim Tebow, who is a football player. And Matthew West did a song called Unplanned about for the movie Unplanned with Abby Johnson.
So you take issue with the nullification of the Mexico City policy?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Let's go to Chester in Salem, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I was thinking today, you know, I was listening to you talk about the name calling stuff. Like he said, we can no longer call COVID the China virus like Trump does. And Biden run his whole campaign on unity and bringing people together. And my thought was this: if we can't call things by name, then if he wants to unite everybody, why not do away with what you say the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, and just say, you're elected as U.S. senators, and that's what you're going to be known by. Because most of the division is coming from the government.
Very interesting. And indeed, in order to keep, you want to keep your name because that gives your, quote, party control there. So.
Right. And if there is no Democrat Party or no Republican Party, then all this bickering back and forth wouldn't be going on over who's going to have control of the House or who's going to have control of the Senate. Mm-hmm. Just bring a bill to the floor, and everybody in there that was elected as House representatives or U.S. senators, put their vote to it and let it go.
Yeah.
I'll say about the government the same thing I've always said about the church. When the leadership gets lined out and gets fixed, then everybody else will fall in line.
Mm. Thank you for the call here, Chester. Let's go to Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. You know, if you listen to programs like yours or like I used to listen to Marlon Maddox's point of view in Illinois. All this stuff seems to come together. I was listening to the idea of putting a fence around the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who suggested it is the chief, United States Chief of Police, or the United States Police Department. Well, a few years ago, I was listening to Marlon Maddox, and there was a guy in West Texas watching a freight train come through. And they had a bunch of used Humvees going to the desert for storage. Right in the middle of the train was a black Humvee polished up, and on the driver's door it said, United States Police Force. And this is a good 15 years ago. So they've been at this for a long time. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Gary, for the call. I find it more interesting that we want to put a fence around the Capitol because we need it for security, but we got to, you know, stop building a fence around our country. Thank you. Let's go to Tom in Port Wing. You're on the air.
Well, I guess, Jim, this is one of those, which one do we believe? Nancy Pelosi in the House says we're supposed to talk gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
President Biden says transgenderism is the civil rights movement of our age. Yet transsexuals often advertise their transformation using great exaggeration, whether it be from male to female. So who do we believe? They want to call themselves feminine names or use feminine clothing, yet we're not supposed to recognize that their particular gender that they transform to. Mm. It's kind of confusing, I guess.
It really is. It really is. Thank you. And you see, once you change a standard, there's no limit. There's no limit. Once you change a definition in the dictionary, there's no end to where this will go. But thanks for raising that issue. John in Winneconne, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, I just wanted to, we were talking about social media and how ridiculous it's gotten. On my Facebook in the mornings, I would let my chickens and ducks out, and I had a big audience. People like to watch that. I got banned from Facebook because my chicken's name is Fatty Patty.
Truly.
Truly. So I thought you might get a kick out of that. Long story short, I think all of technocracy, they're simply agents for Satan. But it's ridiculous when a guy gets banned because his chicken's name is Fatty Patty.
Thanks for the call here, John. And let's finish up with Pat in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Pat.
Hi, Jim. It's interesting that Nancy Pelosi wanted the National Guard to use machine guns against the American people. So, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, interesting observation there as well. And as we talk about, you know, the declining police forces and reining in police and so forth and using talk in order to de-escalate, and yet, yes, you're right, Nancy Pelosi wanted the troops around Washington to have machine guns and turrets and so forth. Very interesting indeed. Our time is gone. Folks, our country is a mess. You know what the answer is? The answer is Jesus. And we trust that you'll be faithful in shedding the light of the good news of the gospel here to a world that's lost in sin. They need to turn to a Savior. That's our only hope here across this nation. And let's keep our trust in Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. By the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. God bless you. Thanks for listening today to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.